Tan and J-Man Show Nation, we are back with another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show live on the ISC Sports Network. Tanner is back after he dished me for his wife last week. A smart man, smart man. but thanks to my dad, Dan, for filling in for me. He always does an admirable job. How you doing out there, Tan the Man?
I'm doing good, J-Man. Thank you to Dan the Man Munt for filling in last week, and thank you for his kind words to me and my wife for our first anniversary. Really appreciate it. Enjoyed listening to the show back the next day. Lots and lots of baseball talk, but I enjoyed the 1984 Cubs talk because I didn't know a whole lot about that team. I know it's one of my dad's favorite Cub teams, if not his favorite Cub team. So that was cool. That was very cool. It was a good trivia question too.
Yeah, it was a hard one. I knew he'd have a difficulty with it. I would have had no clue. Somebody could ask me that question, I would have. I don't even know who I would have guessed. Honestly, maybe Sandberg. But
yeah, that would have been probably my guess because he's one of the only guys I know for a fact was on the roster. So, glad to be back tonight. It was weird. As you know, and a lot of the Tan and J-Man Show Nation knows, I do three podcasts year-round. Well, the Purdue one has an off-season, but anyways, soon to be three again on a weekly basis. And I didn't do any this past week. Oh. I did not do my one that's usually, it was still last night. I just didn't partake. It felt kind of weird going a whole week without doing a pod. So happy to be back in the saddle tonight. Hopefully I remember what I'm doing. So
yeah, we'll see.
But got a lot to talk about tonight. Got the Olympics are over. We're going to give our final thoughts on that. MLB, of course, going hot and heavy right now. Starting to get on that final stretch a little bit towards the playoffs, even though it's about a month and a half away. And then, of course, tonight's our Big 12 predictions and preview show. So looking forward to chopping up the Big 12, even though it has 16 teams in it this year. Yeah. Not 12. But that leads me to my birdie or bogey question. And this one is you got to pay attention here because it's going to be weird and kind of weird. But so I want to know amongst the Big 12 teams we grew up with.
Okay.
Or at least I'm already changing my wording. Before the expansion last year. So the 12 teams before the expansion last year. That's all your possible choices for this trivia question. Who's the all-time leader in passing yards?
Big 12 history. Okay.
Yeah. Amongst the 12 we grew up with.
Okay. That's a very good trivia question. One guy immediately pops into mind, but Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and casual atmosphere located. Upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. They are actually closed tonight due to a small electrical fire in the kitchen, it looks like, today. But they will be back tomorrow. It does not say. I assume everyone is okay, so that's always good. Monday is usually pizza night. You know, they got dill pickle and margarita, pepperoni, cheese. That's just a glimpse into the food they have there. And, sure they will be getting that, electrical issue fixed post haste.
Yeah. Glad everybody's okay there. Closing for one night, it's a lot better than, what a different outcome could be there, mm-hmm. whether when it comes to electrical and when fires and stuff like that.
So, yeah.
I guess another topic we can talk about is NFL preseason football, because every team now has at least get one game under their belt. Did you catch any highlights of the Dolphins game? I know you didn't watch it the other night.
I have not watched a millisecond of preseason football in the NFL. I didn't really see any highlights of the Dolphins. I know they didn't start or they didn't play any starters. Defense, I don't think they had anyone start or any starters out there. Offense, I don't think they had anyone either. So the first game of preseason, it's like, okay, football's back, and then you realize, man, this is boring. I know you were in attendance, and it looked like a really good game for a preseason game, and you had a rookie quarterback to at least watch, but I have not tuned in to really anything.
Yeah, and the Broncos actually played their starters. Sean Payton said they're going to play him 1 to 2 series, and a few guys did only play 1 to 2 series, but there was a couple starters that played there into the second quarter. I'm like, okay, we can pull these guys before it hurts. But it was a good time. It was the first preseason game I've been to at Lucas Oil Stadium. Only second preseason game I've ever been to. I went to one, I think it was the year 2000. It was Saints against Colts in Ross State Stadium. They played it there, and it didn't draw well, so they never did that again.
I bet it would draw really well now.
Yeah, it did not back then. I remember Drew Brees was still on Purdue, so that's why I think it was 2000, because he and some other Purdue football players sang the national anthem. And of course, Peyton Manning was really young. It probably drew like half the stadium. I don't know. I remember having a good time as a young kid going with my dad.
Yeah.
But Ricky Williams was on the Saints. I remember being mad. He wasn't playing. I didn't understand. But anyways, good attendance yesterday for a preseason game. I thought totally different atmosphere, though. So much more relaxed than a regular season game, which is nice. I think it's the only time I've never got heckled by any fan whatsoever when I've wore Bronco stuff into enemy territory. But that was cool. It was the closest NFL seats my wife has ever had to the field. So we had a fifth row in the end zone, which was a really good seat. So yeah, we had a good time. Broncos won 34-30, high scoring preseason game, and it was fun to see Bo Nix play quite a bit and play pretty well. He looked pretty comfortable out there. I know it's only preseason, so I'm trying to take that with a grain of salt, but I would be really surprised if he's not their week one starter at Seattle, which he should be. I mean, if you're going to struggle anyways, you might as well struggle with a rookie instead of starting a veteran, you know, guy who's could be a decent backup, and then switch in 5 to 6 weeks into season anyways. So, and honestly, and I know this guy was going against third and fourth string players, but Zach Wilson looked pretty good too yesterday as the third string. So, maybe, I mean, depending on what happens against Green Bay in week two, if Bo Nix is a starter, maybe Zach Wilson is trying to compete with Jarrett Stidham for that backup job. Yeah. He would be a little cheaper than Jarrett Stidham is. So, that's something to look out for. But they did play a lot of starters, but Patrick Surtain Jr., they held him out, of course. They did that last year with game one, held a couple other guys out. But for the most part, they played most of their guys. Only had one guy get banged up yesterday. Colts had one guy get banged up, Trey Sermon got banged up. It was cool seeing Anthony Richardson. He only played, I think he played 2 series. Didn't throw a whole lot, but didn't complete a whole lot of passes he threw. Then Flacco came in only for a series, but he showed off his gun. That old dude could still rifle the football. And then Ellinger came in. Then Slovis came in. I didn't even know he was on the roster. And then we left after the third quarter, and I believe they put a fifth guy in. So the Colts have five QBs on their preseason roster, whereas Denver only has three. So, but still fun to get back and see a live football game in action. Yeah. And it really feels like football is back.
I saw a video. I think it was Joey Molinari, you know, that guy who used to work for Barstool and does funny stuff. Mm-hmm. I think he's from Indianapolis too.
Yes, he is. Yep.
He put out a funny video about when a team drafts a quarterback, like in the first round, and how he like kind of played like the head coach, if you will, like it back. Okay, we're in May, and like, yeah, the rook, I know you guys want to see him, but he's going to be third string here on the depth chart. And like it progresses each like time he did it. It was July and then August. And like, even like the last week of preseason, it's like, yeah, the we're going to have the rook. I know you guys want to see the young guy, but he's going to be QB2 this week. And then, of course, the first week of the season is like, yeah, he's starting this week. So I feel like that's the way it's going to be with Bo Nix.
Yep, I do too. And I was just happy to see. There was one throw that could have got picked off. Besides that, he played pretty clean football, showed off his legs a couple times, which I knew he did a little bit at Oregon, but didn't have to do it too much. He just looked comfortable out there. And once again, he is 24 years old.
Right.
People forget that. He's an old rookie. He started more games collegially than any college football player ever in 61. So he's had a lot of experience. So, I mean, he's as old as Zach Wilson is, third string guy. So, we'll see. Hopefully they roll with them. But saw some encouraging signs. But once again, it's preseason. I don't think the Broncos will be a playoff team. I want to repeat myself. I do not think they're going to be a playoff team. But I do think they can get over that 5.5 game win total that Vegas has them right now over or under.
Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. So, but good time in Lucas Oil. The window was open. The roof was not, because the roof was having mechanical issues.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be open. They didn't have it open.
I saw old Jimmy. I was tweeting about it yesterday.
He's a peach. But he did get rid of that 2014 AFC finalist banner to Barstool Chicago. It is gone. I kind of thought it was a joke, you know, the other day when they posted on Twitter. I didn't look that deep into it. Then I'm looking up yesterday at the banner. Like, oh, it is gone. Okay. Which they needed that gone. That was was embarrassing.
That's embarrassing. That's like a college basketball program raising a round of 64 banner.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I'm sure Northwestern did that.
They probably did. But good to have football back. The kickoff rule is interesting. It's really interesting to see in person. It does make for more excitement, whereas there's not going to be touchbacks hardly ever, if ever. But it is just really odd to see guys line up like 5 yards apart from each other. The Guardian helmets are also interesting to see in person. Have you heard about those?
Yeah, I saw Jonathan Taylor wore one.
He wore one, and there was another Colts defender, which the Colts defender was the one I noticed it on first. It just looks kind of goofy in person, but hey, if it's going to keep them safe, that's all good. So,
yeah.
So no chains. No chains for the first down markers. It's you have the first down markers, but there's no chains. It's digital right now.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming since that's kind of an archaic sort of deal, bringing out the chain gang. So I did see something on Dolphins Twitter, and they could have been doing this 20 years ago even if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. And last thing I'll speak on of the game yesterday. I always like to report back with jerseys I saw or you know whose jersey was being worn the most. I think amongst Colts fans, Peyton Manning's jersey was still the one I saw wore the most. If we're kind of active players, it was Anthony Richardson. Did see quite a few Quentin Nelsons and Jonathan Taylors too. The coolest Bronco jersey I probably saw, I saw a guy wearing an Ed McCaffrey jersey. Thought that was pretty cool. John Elway was definitely the most popular Bronco jersey I saw. Saw some Terrell Davis's. Saw a Tim Tebow. That was kind of a unique one too. You don't see people wearing those too often. But the Broncos, of course, orange sticks out. But I was surprised with how many Bronco fans were there yesterday. So, and we are back. 404 episodes in, and J-Man and I are still making technical mistakes here on the show. So
that was on me. I meant to remove myself because I accidentally unplugged my mic, and it won't let me unmute it unless I get out. And I accidentally hit, not accidentally, I did it on purpose, thinking I was clicking something else, and I clicked end live stream. So my B.
That's all right. Well, we have two files out there now. So, yes. But I didn't have any other thoughts really on preseason football. I did enjoy episode one of Hard Knocks last week, and I'm looking forward to episode two tomorrow night. So, the Olympics, 2024 Olympic Games, Paris, France have come and gone. It's weird not having Olympics on TV after they were on the last 2.5 weeks.
Right. Did you watch much?
I watched more the past 4 days than I probably did the whole previous weeks. Yeah. Watched quite a bit of the basketball against France, both men's and women's. Watched some rock climbing the other night. That was kind of cool. Watched some indoor bicycling race. That gave me anxiety. Just seeing them that tightly packed.
Yeah.
Watched some handball last week.
That looks fun.
I was trying to watch some sports I've never seen before. Saw some highlights of breakdancing, which it sounds like that's not coming back in 2028. Yeah. Probably because the Australia lady that got 0 points and now she's going to be a viral sensation forever.
Yeah, I about said something about breakdancing because I didn't watch a whole lot for whatever reason. I just never had it on. I watched a little basketball. I didn't really watch Team USA, though. But the breakdancing one, it was all over Twitter and all over, really, any social media. And, it was was that the first year they had breakdancing? I think it was.
Yeah, Yeah, it was. And you know, it's very, very impressive. I can't break dance. I'd be worse than the lady from Australia if I tried.
Significantly so.
I would be awful.
Yeah.
But that's not sport, in my opinion. It's not. Just not. Yeah. It's just not.
Yeah, and they got rid of like baseball and softball to add a sport like that, which I know baseball and softball costs a lot more to do. And Team USA last time, because it's right in the middle of the season. So people are trying to petition, hey, why don't you make the All-Star break like 9 to 10 days? Let some of these actual superstars go and play. So we'll see what Rob Manfred has up his sleeve in 2028 in LA. Maybe the fact that it is in the U.S. will help that cause.
I'm looking forward to watching flag football in 2028. It's making its debut. Did you know flag football is the fastest growing female sport in America?
That's pretty cool. I could see that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love playing flag football. I mean, I'm sure my 32-year-old self couldn't do it now, at least like I used to, but enjoyed playing. You know, in high school, we would play in my parents' backyard. And then in college, I played some intramurals. So flag football is a lot of fun. So, and it can get really, really competitive. So, I'm looking forward to watching that in 2028 when the LA has the Olympics. But I don't know what other sports are making their debut.
Yeah, if the U.S. does not win the flag football, something went disastrously wrong.
Yeah, you would think. You would definitely think. So they could load up that team pretty good.
Yeah.
So, but Olympics are always fun to watch. U.S. did win the overall medal count. So I got one of my bold predictions, one of my 24 bold predictions for 2024, right? Did they end up getting the most gold medals? Last I knew, they were tied with China. Did they end up?
I was going to say last I saw, they were tied at, I think it was 40 or 41 with China. Let me see. I'm not sure.
I'll put in the Google machine here real quick.
Runner through the Google machine. I'm trying to think what I watched not a decent amount, but an okay amount a couple weeks ago when it first came out. But the past, I just never really get into it. It's weird because I don't watch hockey like throughout the year, but I love Olympic hockey. That's fun.
Winter games.
The NHL does it mid-season, so I don't know why baseball couldn't.
More pub, that kind of bummed me, though. NHL needs the pub. They tied at 40 apiece. U.S. and China tied at 40 apiece. And then U.S. had 44 silver, 42 bronze for overall 126. China had 91. Then Great Britain at 65 and France 64. So France was third and gold medals was 16.
It was a pretty good atmosphere, it looked like, for the gold medal basketball game.
It's going to be interesting come 2028 because the guys that set the bench and didn't have much to do, which they have great attitudes, and that's a great part of building a good culture for the USA basketball. Tyrese Halliburton, Jason Tatum. Thank you. I almost said Jalen Brunson. Jason Tatum. You know, those guys didn't play much. Hardly at all, but they're going to have to come 2028. They're going to be key pieces because I mean, LeBron will be 43 by then. I know he's a freak.
He'll bring Bronny and his other one with him.
Yeah, he was a freak for 39 years old. His performance, Steph Curry was awesome. Durant was pretty solid. But those guys are going to be 4 years older next time. And it's like, you know, those are the guys who have been through it, the vets who have been through it, and these younger guys got to have to take it because the rest of the world's getting better. That's what we're seeing. The rest of the world's getting better.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, France had a good team.
Yeah, I mean, we saw. Yeah, Serbia took them to the wire in that semifinal game.
Helps when you have the best player in the world, in my opinion, the best player in the world. So, Thad Mooney here on Facebook for LA 2028 baseball supposedly to come back, adding cricket, flag football, and dropping boxing as of now. They have till mid next year to finalize what is added or taken away from Olympic events. Interesting. Boxing. Yeah, boxing is just a sport that just not as popular as it used to be.
I was going to say, yeah.
Mixed martial arts has kind of just kicked it aside.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I know people still watch MMA and UFC and all that. I've never really gotten into it, but it feels like that's kind of even starting to take a little bit of a backseat to some other stuff too.
Well, I think they don't have the mainstream names in UFC. Like, I'm not a big fan like I used to be, but money wise, they're making more money right now than ever before.
So, that's fair.
Their ownership group TKO, who owns them and the WWE, they're just printing money with everything they do.
Yeah.
So it's ridiculous. So, but yeah, thank you, Thad. I did not know that. So it's good to know. Good.
We definitely need to brush up on our cricket knowledge then by 2028.
Yes. Yes, we do. Speaking of cricket, do you want to get educated today?
Let's do it.
On the sporting events that have happened on August 12th. I have not looked at these till right now. I need to bring the bumper up. Here we go. Come on. It's got to be a cricket one now. Come on. Come on. On this day in 1879, the first National Archery Association tournament was held in Chicago.
That's cool.
Here we go. On this day in 1884, Bill Murdoch scores first test cricket double century, 211 at the Oval.
That's what I'm talking about. Bill Murdoch, is that what you said?
Yeah, that a boy, Billy Boy.
Legend. Legendary.
Oh man. On this day, in 1928, the Summer Olympic Games closed in what country?
1928. Well, let's go with Lisbon, Portugal.
Good guess. Amsterdam, Netherlands. On this day, 1936, after a 24-year absence, a baseball demonstration game is played between two American teams at the Berlin Olympics. World champions beat the U.S. Olympics 6-5. Let's see here. On this day in 1948, the then Cleveland Indians got 29 hits in a 9-inning game.
Dang, that's a lot.
That's hitting the ball around the ballpark.
That is.
On this day, 1949, the 16th NFL Chicago All-Star Game was held. Philadelphia beat the All-Stars 38-0 in front of attendance of 93,780.
Man, they love their football. They still love their football, what am I saying? But they loved it just as much back in the day. It was a lot different game, too.
But on this day, 1950, the first international game by an NFL team was played when the Giants beat the CFL's Ottawa Rough Riders 20-6 at Ottawa's Lansdowne Stadium.
I know they play different rules, but that would be kind of cool to see, like, the Grey Cup winner play an NFL team. Just sure. To see.
Yeah, it would. On this day, 1963, Stan the Man Musial announced he will retire at the end of the year. On this day, 1964, Mickey Mantle switch hits a home run for the record 10th and final time in a game with one going 502 feet. There's another Mickey Mantle 500-some feet home run. On this day, 1965, the Milwaukee Brewers Baseball Club Incorporated applied for a NL franchise. On this day in 1969, the Boston Celtics sold for an NBA record $6 million.
What year was that?
69.
I bet they're getting close.
Encroaching.
I should have just said getting close. I tried to come up with a big word. I would say pretty close to $10 billion with the Boston Celtics.
Let's look up their network.
I would say it is a top two most valuable franchise in the NBA.
As of July 2024, they're valued at $5.12 billion, making them the fourth most valuable NBA franchise and 21st most valuable franchise in the United States.
Well, I was off on both accounts. So
they are behind the Warriors, Knicks, and Lakers.
There's no way the Warriors are more valuable. I know they've won a bunch lately. There's no way the Warriors are more valuable than the Boston Celtics.
The last time the Celtics got sold was 2002 for $360 million.
It's a pretty good return on your investment 21 years later. Goodness.
Yeah. On this day, 1970, Kirk Flood lost his $41 million antitrust suit against baseball.
I'm pretty sure Kirk Flood was the guy that there is free agency because of that guy.
I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure it was Kurt Flood. He sued baseball because he's like, I want to be able to choose where I go.
I am 95% sure you're right.
Yeah.
On this day, 1972, Ian and Greg Chappell both score centuries in the same test cricket innings. I really got to brush up on my cricket. This is like
those are just foreign language to me. Legendary relatives right there.
On this day in 1973, who won the men's PGA Championship?
I'm going to go with old Jack.
Old Jack is correct. He won his third of five PGA Championships by four strokes over Bruce Crampton of Australia.
Bruce.
On this day, 1974, Nolan Ryan struck out 19 hitters and walked only two as the Angels beat the Red Sox 4-2.
Not too shabby. Bay threw 170 pitches that day, too.
Probably. On this day in 1984, the Braves beat the Padres 5-3. The game featured two brawls and 19 ejections.
Go back and look that one up. Guys were yielding bats, and it was pretty wild.
I missed this one. I looked over this one, but I want to mention this one. On this day, 1978, NFL New England Patriots wide receiver Darryl Stingley suffered a spinal cord injury, leaving him with incomplete, I can't pronounce, quadriplegia from a hit by Oakland Raiders Jack Tatum in a preseason exhibition game. So pretty much left him paralyzed.
Yeah.
Former Purdue Boilermaker there. Mm-hmm. And his grandson's a good defensive back in the NFL. His name's escaping me.
Okay.
LSU, help Houston, me out here. Right?
Houston, Derek Stingley?
Yep. Thank you. Okay. I was like, you just got drafted like 2 years ago.
I did not know they were related.
No. Yeah, because trust me, the Purdue message boards think we got a shot.
Not even
close. On this day in 1986, Don Baylor got hit by a pitch for record 25th time in the season.
RIP. Pretty sure Anthony Rizzo holds that record now.
I'd be charging the mound.
Yeah.
On this day, 1990, who won the men's PGA Championship?
90. I'm going to go with Seve Ballesteros.
Great guess. It was Wayne Grady of Australia, won his only major title by three strokes over Fred Couples.
Never heard of him.
All right. On this day, 1994, members of the MLB Players Association go on strike, leading to the cancellation of the World Series for only the second time in MLB history. The other year was 1904.
Yeah, that was dark. I mean, obviously, we were only 2 years old, so we don't really remember it. We don't remember it at all, I should say. dark days that steroids saved.
Yep. Who won the PGA Championship for men's golf in 2007?
07? I'm going to go with Tiger.
Tiger won his fourth PGA Championship by two shots over Woody Austin. On his day in 2008, Michael Phelps won his third of eight gold medals at the Beijing Olympics.
Yeah, he was pretty fast swimmer.
All right. On this day, 2012, who won the PGA Championship for men's golf?
2012. I forgot it used to be in August. Right now it's in
May-ish. May now. Yep.
2012. Who was good? Rory.
It was your boy Rory McIlroy. Won it by eight strokes. Had a David Lynn. He dominated the field.
I was gonna say if only he
could do that for the J-Man now.
Yeah.
The Olympic Games ended on this day in 2012. Where?
2012. Where were they in 2016 was Brazil, right?
I believe you're right.
2012. 2008 was China. I don't remember where 2012 Olympics was.
In London.
Was it really?
Yes.
In London. I have no recollection.
A few more here. On this day in 2018, who won the 100th men's PGA Championship?
2018 was that Brooks? Was that when he started winning?
Yep, Brooks Koepka became only the fifth player to win two major titles in a calendar year when he beat Tiger Woods by two strokes.
I'm killing it with the golf trivia tonight.
Yeah, you are. You're on fire. And on this day in 2021. Kawhi Leonard re-signed with the Los Angeles Clippers for a max four-year, $176.3 million contract. Hasn't worked out too well.
No, the claw. Now, with all these superstars the Clippers have had here the past 12 years, 13 years or so. They didn't win a whole lot.
Nope. And that's going to do for the On This Day segment this week, which is brought to you by Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs that fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. It's pretty much the middle of August right now. So I'm telling you, Christmas is going to be here before you know it. So get your sign orders in. You won't be disappointed. All right, J-Man, a little baseball talk before we get to the we got 27 minutes left. So a little baseball talk before we get to the Big 12 conference preview. I do have something I kind of wanted to quiz you on, but I want to let you talk about whatever you want to talk about first.
I don't really have a whole lot baseball-wise. Cubs are only one game under 500 now and only three out of a wild card spot. They have cut their wild card deficit in half over the past 6 days, but their playoff odds have only gone up 2% because they have to jump four other teams. But playing a little better baseball, it helps when you get to play the Chicago White Sox. But they did just take 3 or 4 from the Cardinals and 2 or 3 from the Twins. So that's something to hold your hat on. They're playing in Cleveland right now, which will be real tough. Hope to win at least one of these. And then their schedule lightens up. They face the Blue Jays team this weekend, who's 10 games under 500. A lot of talent, though. And they have the, on paper, with win percentage, the easiest schedule in the National League the rest of the way. I say that, but they also have to go to Philadelphia, to LA Dodgers, to, I know the Rockies stink, but I hate when they go out there and have to play in Coors Field. But they do get the Marlins, Rockies, Pirates, Reds, Washington twice. So they need to really clean up when they in the Tigers really need to clean up when they win those, but or when they play those teams. But other than that, a whole lot baseball wise for me.
All right, well, let's see how you can do here. I got each franchise all-time strikeout leader, as in pitcher.
I saw this on Twitter today, but I didn't look at it too intently. So
good.
Yeah,
It goes by alphabetical order, and it's got some weird logos. Like some of them are older logos, some of them are newer logos. There's one I'm going to have to figure out when we get there because I don't know what team that is. Hmm. But we'll start with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson with 2077. Atlanta Braves.
Atlanta Braves. Is it Glavin?
John Smoltz.
Smoltz, shoot.
3,011.
Yeah, Smoltz missed a couple years with Tommy John, but he did strike out a lot more guys than Tom did.
Baltimore Orioles.
Jim Palmer.
Jim Palmer with 2,212. Boston Red Sox.
Oh, man. Is it Pedro or Roger?
Roger Clemens with 2,590. Chicago Cubs.
Fergie Jenkins.
With 2,038. Chicago White Sox.
Oh, man. They haven't had a great run of success here in their history. I don't even have a guess for you.
Billy Pierce with 1,796. He's got an old school Chicago White Sox look. Like. I didn't even know that was ever their logo. I don't know. Cincinnati Reds.
I saw the Reds guy today, and I didn't recognize the name, like Maloney or something like that. Mahoney.
Jim Maloney with 1,592. The Cleveland Indians, now Guardians.
Cleveland. I got nothing.
Bob Feller with 2,581.
Yeah, I knew they had some legend.
The Colorado Rockies, and I will say they are the only franchise that has not hit 1,000.
is it Ubaldo Jimenez?
It is not. That's who I thought it would be, but it was. I'm gonna butcher.
Jeff Francis.
Name.
Oh, Jorge De La Rosa.
Jermaine Marquez.
Oh, he's currently on the roster. Jermaine Marquez, yeah. He's currently on the roster.
986. I could not have told you they're all time.
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed him.
Detroit Tigers.
Tigers. Man, I'm still Verlander. It's got to be Verlander, right?
Mickey Lolick.
Mickey Lolick.
2,679. Houston Astros.
Roy Oswalt.
Nolan Ryan.
Oh, yeah. 1,866. What an idiot.
Kansas City Royals.
Oh, man.
I really thought you were going to dominate this. I'm feeling really bad.
I'm trying to think of all the pitchers that have ever pitched. I'm better with position players from way back. Kevin Apier.
Yes.
Oh, it is.
1,458. The LA Angels, California Angels, whatever you want to call them.
That's got to be Nolan, too, then.
That's Nolan with 2,416. Los Angeles Dodgers.
LA Dodgers. I don't think Koufax was there long enough. I'm going to go Koufax or Drysdale.
Clayton Kershaw, 2,955.
That makes more sense than my two guesses, although I did guess two Hall of Famers, I guess. But
The Florida Marlins, or Miami Marlins, Florida Marlins, whatever.
I don't even know where this one. Man, who was there? It's Josh Bega wasn't there long enough. Ricky Nolasco.
Ricky Nolasco with 1,001. What a pull.
I can't believe I got that one. I knew he was there forever.
The Milwaukee Brewers.
Brew Crew. I don't even know who pitched for him back in like the 70s and 80s. I don't know.
Giovanni Gallardo.
Gallardo, really? Holy cow.
With 1,226.
That's what happens when you never win a – well, that's the reason why they've never won a World Series, I should say.
Who would be between, in alphabet order, Milwaukee and the New York teams? Because I don't know this logo.
It'd be like, the Twins.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's a hint. Is it
Jim Cott?
Walter Johnson.
Oh, man.
2,509. And the logo's a W. It's just a blue W.
Yeah, that was back. I mean, Walter Johnson pitched in the early 1900s.
Oh, okay.
Probably the greatest ever, honestly.
Yeah. New York Mets.
Mets? I don't know why my first thought was Johan Santana. That's bad that was my first thought. Just give it to me.
Tom Seaver.
Tom Seaver. That's who.
2,541.
I knew it was Tom Seaver. I couldn't think of his name.
New York Yankees.
Is that the Rocket too?
Surprisingly, it's Andy Pettit with 2,020. I wouldn't have guessed that.
He had the longevity there.
He did. The Athletics.
Oakland A's. Dave Stewart.
Eddie Plank with 1,985.
Let me guess.
Philadelphia Phillies.
Steve Carlton.
3,031. Pittsburgh Pirates.
Pittsburgh Pirates. Oh, man. I don't know.
Bob Friend with 1,682. San Diego Padres.
Jake Peavy.
Jake Peavy with 1,348. The San Francisco Giants.
This is a tough one. Is it Gaylord Perry?
It's Chrissy Mathewson with 2,504.
Yeah, that's way too back for me.
Seattle Mariners.
Okay, they've been – oh, Felix. King Felix.
Yep, 2,524. St. Louis Cardinals.
Bob Gibson.
3,117. Tampa Bay Rays.
Ooh, that's a good one. The big game, James, or is it David Price?
Which one is it?
Oh, you sound
it's one of the two.
I'm going to go James Shields.
Good guess. James Shields, 1,250. Three more. Texas Rangers.
Is it Nolan?
Charlie Huh or Hugh?
Yeah, he was a knuckleballer.
1,452. Toronto Blue Jays.
Roger.
Dave Steeb. Staib, 1,658. And lastly, the Washington Nationals.
I think it's Strasburg. I saw this one today.
Steven Strasburg with 1,723. So you got 13 out of 30.
I'm embarrassed. I am absolutely embarrassed.
Might have got six of them. Maybe. Maybe. I wouldn't have got the Yankees. I would not have guessed Andy Pettit. Makes sense.
It does make sense. Yeah. I thought about Pettit, but yeah. But
all right. The only one I think you got to be mad at yourself is the Mets.
Yeah. The Tom Seaver one. He's the guy I was thinking. I just could not come up with his name.
And maybe Clayton Kershaw. So
yeah. I'm okay with my two guesses because they're Hall of Famers, but Kershaw would have made more sense.
Yep.
All right, we only have 17 minutes now to do our Big 12 preview, so we got to fly through these.
Yeah, we don't time manage these good at all.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Who you got winning the Big 12?
I got J-Man's Utes. And why I'm calling him J-Man's is that's who my dad thinks J-Man needs to be a fan of in college football.
I also have Utah. Cameron Rising is back. He had 33 total touchdowns in 2022. He did not play last year.
Threw for 3,034 yards, too, on top of 26 touchdowns.
Defense is good. 19 points a game last year of eight upperclassmen. So.
Kyle Whittingham's a great coach.
He's really good. Yeah, consistently good coach. Yeah.
Great coach. They should make the playoff.
Should,
They got – their schedule not that hard either. So, What do you got, number two?
I have Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy's boys.
I got the Cowboys third.
Oklahoma State led by potential Heisman Ollie Gordon, who got in some trouble with the law for drinking and driving.
Not a big deal, football. According to Mike Gundy.
According to Mike Gundy. I've done that many times, which doesn't surprise me. Over 2,000 yards from scrimmage last year and 22 touchdowns. This guy's a beast. Alan Bowman, their quarterback, third school. Seventh year needs to get a real job, in my opinion. But they stay in college as long as you can, Van Wilder.
They return 20 of 22 starters. That's absurd. Yeah,
they should be good.
And this is a team that lost to Texas in the Big 12 title game last year. So they should be very good. Who do you got number three?
I have Kansas State.
That's who I got number two. That's who I got number two. I like what Chris Kleeman's building there after the Bill Snyder days.
Yeah. They needed some new blood, and now Chris Kleiman's in there, and he's building them. I mean, he did a really good job in North Dakota State now. Yeah. But DJ Giddens returns 1,500 scrimmage yards and 13 touchdowns last year. Their quarterback's a true sophomore, Avery Johnson, who backed up Will Howard, who is now
at Ohio State.
All 11 starters on defense are upperclassmen, projected starters, I should say.
They returned seven from last year's team. With some portal guys, that defense only gave up 21 points per game last year. So, you do that, you're going to be in every ball game.
Yeah, going to be pretty good.
Who do you got number four?
I have Arizona.
Me too.
Jed Fish, that was a dumpster fire he took over. And they won 10 games last year. Sophomore quarterback Noah Fifita returns 25 touchdowns. Transfer running back Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt from New Mexico at over 1,100 yards. 17 touchdowns. They have seven transfers on defense, led by Jacob Manu and Tricario Davis.
Three offensive line starters back, five defensive starters, like you said. This is brand new head coach, though. Brett Brennan, who comes to them after being at San Jose State. He went to Washington.
That's right. Might be.
Yep. So Brett Brennan is coming to them after being 7 years at San Jose State. So,
That is right.
Number five.
I have Kansas finishing fifth.
I got the Jayhawks sixth.
Pound for pound, Lance Leipold might be the best coach in the country. Taking over what he took over and turned them into a respectable program.
I was going to say, you just said dumpster fire for Arizona. I don't know what you call Kansas then of what he took over.
And they were pretty good last year, even though Jalen Daniels played only three games.
Yeah, he went down with injury.
They were electric in 22, but he just hadn't stayed healthy. Then Devin Neal returns, who had over 1,200 yards and 16 touchdowns last year. Mediocre defense, but have two first-team DBs, and Kobe Bryant spelled differently, and Melo Dotson. So
they always have good DBs.
Yeah. Came in the season ranked number 22. So.
Yeah, their DBs last year only gave up 11 passing touchdowns in Big 12 play. So. Yeah. That's pretty incredible because think of the Big 12 teams that are air raiding and out. So, Yep. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Who do you have number six?
I have Iowa State finishing sixth.
I have them seventh. So we still haven't talked about my number five yet, and that's okay.
The shine has definitely dimmed off Iowa State, or off of Matt Campbell, I should say.
Sure.
They had 7 wins last year. Rocco Beck had 25 total touchdowns, quarterback. Abu Sama is a name to remember. He had 600 yards, 7 yards per carry as a freshman last year. Their top two receivers return. Jeremiah Cooper could be the best defensive back in the league. So things might be looking up for Iowa State.
I will say it looked gloomy in Ames early last year when they started off 2-3, but they finished 5-3. It's kind of turned it around. Like you said, mm-hmm. Rocco Bett, he threw for 3,120 yards last year and 23 touchdowns. They returned all 5 offensive line starters back. That's pretty rare in college football nowadays. And I always root for their defensive coordinator, John Haycock. I worked with him a little bit at Purdue in 2013. He was on Daryl Hazel's first staff. Then he was smart and got out of town for Toledo before things got real rough there in West Lafayette. So I always root for him. He does a real good job up there at Iowa State. So you had them sixth. Who do you have seventh?
I have Central Florida finishing seventh.
I got them ninth. I still haven't talked about my 15 yet.
Oh, man. Gus Malzahn struggled in their inaugural season in the Big 12. They went 6-7. KJ Jefferson transfers in after a great career at Arkansas. He had 88 total touchdowns in his career. RJ Harvey, 1,400 yards and 16 rushing touchdowns. Kobe Hudson, over 900 yards and 20 yards per carry or 20 yards per catch last year. They should be able to put up a lot of points. Should be.
Defense got to get better. They gave up 29.9 points per game during Big 12 play last year. So,
Yeah.
Who do you got eighth?
I have West Virginia.
There's my fifth team, J-Man's Mountaineers on College Football 25.
College Football 25, I took Toledo. I'm in the national title game. I'm planning on playing tonight here after the show sometime. I took the West Virginia job. I wish I would have held out a few weeks.
Should have waited. Should have waited.
But, you know, I'll just go win a title with West Virginia next year and take, like, Georgia or Alabama.
You probably will and make us all mad. Yeah. But Neil Brown had his best year last year after taking the job in 2019. Yeah. They went 9-4, took himself off the hot seat. Garen Green's back for the Mountaineers. Mm-hmm. Defense ranked 10th in the Big 12 in pass defense, though. They gave up 6.1 yards per play in conference. So, got to get better on the defense side of the ball.
Yeah.
Who do you have at 9?
Texas Tech finishing 9th.
I have them at 12.
Oh, Taj Brooks, 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns last year. Baron Morton, QB, had 19 touchdowns last year. It's getting down into the weeds of these conferences. They all run together at this point.
Yep. Texas Tech only has 8 starters back on their team, so they're going to be a whole new look. That could spell good things. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. So, who do you have number 10?
I have Texas Christian University.
That was my number 8. Was my number 8. So
they followed up their national title game appearance by only winning 5 games last year. Yeah, so rough second year for Sonny Dykes. Quarterback Josh Hoover was just okay. Inexperienced running back room. Their projected starter is sophomore Cam Cook, who only had 58 yards. So they've had to replace a lot.
Yeah, they have new defense coordinator, former Boise State head coach Andy Avalos, because that defense gave it 29.6 points in Big 12 play last year, and their offense only scored 28.8 points. So, they got some transfers from one of them from Boise State, of course, being that their DC used to be at Boise State. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Who you got number 11?
I have Baylor finishing 11th.
I got Baylor at number 11 as well.
Only 3 W's last year. They did pick up transfer Daquan Finn from Toledo, who has 88 total touchdowns in his career. They pay players, is what Dave Aranda said. So,
well, Dave Aranda needs to do something to get himself paid because he's 9-16 the last 2 years, 3-9 last year. He's on the hot seat after being really good in 2021. So, Who do you got number 12?
I finally have Colorado.
That's my number 10.
They're at number 12. 4 wins last year. Okay. Shedeur Sanders, 31 touchdowns last year. He had a good year, got sacked a bunch. He led them in carries, believe it or not, with 111 and had minus 77 yards. Travis Hunter is legitimately good defensive back, but the defense is horrendous. One of the worst in the country.
Yeah, they gave up 36.3 points a game in Pac-12 play. Yeah. Deion's so mad at the offensive line, he went and got 10 new linemen in the portal. 10. So yeah, we will see how that goes.
It's definitely not partially his son's fault.
Yeah,
he held on to the ball forever.
Exactly. Yeah. So we will see how it goes in Boulder. I think playoffs, I'm thinking just make a bowl.
Yeah, I'm thinking 4 wins again. I think they lose their first 3.
I hope y'all. Oh, I just love it. I just love it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Who do you got finishing number 12? Or was that 12?
That was 12. Yeah.
Okay. 13. Number
13. I have Brigham Young University.
I got them 14.
Only 5 wins in their first Big 12 season. Inexperience all over the place. I know they were a hot name basketball wise because they had a pretty good year and then their coach left for Kentucky. But don't hear much about BYU football now.
And they started 4-1 last year. They started 4-1 and just tanked. So, yeah, they allowed 34.6 points per game on defense. And over 200 yards on the ground per game. So
that's bad.
Got to get better on that side of the ball.
Yes.
Yeah. So, we have a 14.
I have Cincinnati. They're at
Cincinnati is my last. They're my number 16.
Sorsby, transfer from Indiana, had 15 touchdowns as a freshman last year. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then their running back, Corey Kiner, had over 1,000 yards.
They got Evan Pryor, too, for running back from Ohio State.
Yeah. Could be an ugly season there.
Yeah, they only average on offense 19.1 points per game in Big 12 play, and they only return 4 defensive starters.
So. Yeah, that's not great.
No. Yeah. Who do you have at 15?
I have Houston finishing 15.
That's who's 13. I got them at 13.
The only note I wrote is they have new head coach, Willie Fritz from Tulane, who had a great, great stretch at Tulane, which is a tough job to win at, and he did. Picks over for Dana Holgorsen, who was an absolute disaster at his alma mater.
Yeah, he was. Their quarterback, Donovan Smith, is back. He averages a little over 269 yards, total yards per game. Got good skill players, Parker Jenkins, running back. Wide receiver Joseph Manjack IV, what a name, and transfer tight end Malik Carr, who transferred from Michigan State. And before Michigan State, he was at Purdue. So this is his third transfer, third school. Smith missed spring practice after offseason shoulder surgery. So his timing with the group could be off. We'll see. So, and so my 15th and your last place is the Arizona State Sun Devils.
Arizona State, yes. 3 wins last year, just absolutely ravaged by the portal.
Yeah, that Kenny Dillingham, very uncoached last year, and it showed. They got transfer quarterback Sam Levitt from Michigan State. Only returned 3 starters on defense, so probably a long season out there in Tempe this year.
Yeah. We have pick 6, and I still need to book it. Book it, J-Man's Book, brought to you by Farm Bureau insurance agent Travis Watching for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watching@infb.com. There will be a significant injury in the preseason this week. So
that's awful. I hope not.
It's open to interpretation. So it's probably going to be a Dolphin, honestly. But,
I hope not. I'm not laughing. I'm just laughing because of that comment.
Yeah. Pick 6. So I have 6 former Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year award winners, starting with Max Duggan.
Max Duggan for TCU. Great college player. I don't even know if he's on the NFL roster anymore. No. But, yeah, I mean, look what he did at TCU. He got him to the national title game. I mean, Andy Dalton was kind of the Lord and Savior down there for quarterbacks. Now it's Max Duggan.
Yeah. Breece Hall,
oh, man. He was great rookie year for the Jets until I was at the game. He blew his knee out against Denver. He had a decent year last year for the Jets. But I don't know. I don't know if he's ever going to be like he was. But,
yeah,
we'll see.
Chuba Hubbard.
What a name. One of the best names ever. Was a stud at Oklahoma State. I remember importing that draft class on Madden a few years ago, and he was a stud for my Denver Broncos, too. But one of the best names to ever play college football.
Had over 2,000 yards that year. He won it. And he's still hanging around. I think he's with Carolina or somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Javon Boykin.
Javon Boykin. Was that another TCU guy?
Yeah, another TCU guy.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a name I forgot about.
Me too.
Dave has a good run with offensive players.
Yeah.
And dating back to LT, of course, in the early 2000s. But, yeah, man, TCU, it's amazing they went 5-7 last year because they're usually pretty good every year.
Bryce Petty.
Baylor. Then he was a Jet. Yeah. A few other landing spots. But, yeah, he was shortly after RG3 there at Baylor. They had a nice string of quarterbacks there for a while. He could sling it. Yeah. That's for sure.
The one lasting memory of Bryce Petty in the NFL is Dolphins Jets played on a Saturday, and the Jets let Cam Wake and Ndamukong Suh run free, and they just sandwiched him.
Yeah, he's lucky to be breathing.
Yeah, I don't know if he came back in. Honestly, he got messed up.
But, I wouldn't have.
That is going to do it for pick six. I think I only did five, but that's okay.
That's all right. That's pick six segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2024, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. And the birdie or bogey once again is from the group of 12, the Big 12 we grew up with. Who's the all-time leader in passing yards?
I'm gonna go with Baker Mayfield. Oh shoot.
Right school though.
Sam Bradford.
Landry Jones.
No kidding. That was a tough one. I hate you for that.
It was.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show, live on the ISC Sports Network. We'll be back at it next Monday with another episode. I'll try not to end the stream early this time. But have a fantastic week, everybody.